Cobram Estate is the most awarded Australian extra virgin olive oil. Let it be the hero when entertaining family and friends. Cobram Estate extra virgin olive oil is fresh and full of flavour. Perfect for roasting, frying, baking, dressing salads and for dipping bread. Make your food taste even better with a little help from Cobram Estate. Whether it's infused, ultra premium or everyday essentials, they have the perfect oil for you. Buy in store at all major retailers. KO's got you covered this footy season with every game of every round live and ad break free during play. Big games these weeks, my friends. Fremantle versus Collingwood. Oh my God, Lockie Schultz is coming up against his own team. Cannot wait to watch that one. That's live with no ad breaks during play. Carlton versus Gold Coast. My goodness gracious me. Levi Casbolt Cup. Live with no ad breaks during play. Exclusively in Victoria, that one. And then Geelong versus the Giants. Live with no ad breaks during play. Exclusive in Victoria. Jezza Cameron against his old mob. Don't forget Tanner Bruin. My goodness gracious, that's going to be exciting to see those two teams go to each other. It's two teams that I think will be there in September as well. Then the NBA playoffs, my friends. Watch every game of both the Eastern and Western Conferences. Finals live with ESPN on KO. There's plenty of room for everyone, so get on board with KO now, also available on Hubble.
G'day guys, and welcome back to the show. This week I caught up with one of the great men in footy, Tony Armstrong. Tony played 35 games for Adelaide, Sydney and Collingwood over his six-year career. Post-footy, he's absolutely smashing out an awesome career in the media. He was the first Indigenous person to call football on commercial radio. He's a TV presenter with the ABC, and he also hosts his own footy show called Yokai Footy on NITV. He's dead set one of the funniest blokes you'll meet. He's got a story about everyone and everything. We bonded over the funny side of playing on the fringe. Tony actually takes a cake in being delisted three times, and as you can imagine, playing for three clubs, he provides us with plenty of content. We touch on it all. Growing up in Sydney, heading to boarding school, his first few years on an AFL list, being best mates with Hugo Weaving, pushing himself so hard in pre-season his stomach gives way. And most importantly, he opens up for what it's been like for him as an Indigenous man in today's current climate. It was incredibly eye-opening to listen to what he had to say and how he sees things going forward. Honestly, blessed to sit down with this guy. Loved my chat with him. Love him to death, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Also, guys, this episode was recorded in the new Dylan Friends studio. To watch the episode, head over to the YouTube page and subscribe so you can see it first. The link will be in the show notes. Kiss me, Tony Armstrong.
I'd love to.
Welcome.
Can we? Are we allowed?
No, we can. No, well, we can't. At the moment, no, but you thank can. You. You can keep that, by the way. That's your gift.
Far out.
To be honest, can I say something? That actually took a long time to do.
Look, it's pretty good.
And it says a note on the back as well. Number 50? 50. Yeah. Note on the back.
I won't take the helmet off. Thanks for all of your love, support, and I can't read the last bit, but I've got the love always. Yes. Thank you.
Mate,
it's all love.
It's been a massive journey for us because we have been chatting for a while about this, and
I know.
I've got to say, I don't think there's been a more exciting time for me to have you on the show.
I'm a very elusive guest. This is, I've got people, and those people have people. I'm very sheltered.
And... For you as well, and for me.
Yes.
First episode in the new stew.
I mean, when you're like, I've got a new studio, I was like, oh, cool, like, it'll be sick. And then I come up to this, and this is, I must admit, I didn't think it'd be this good.
It's special. It's not, sorry, as well, it's not the studio. It's the stew.
Oh, sorry, the stew. It's also got, like, you know that new smell?
It's new. It is pretty new. It's been painted.
Yeah, but like, you know, like you walk into somewhere and you go, yep, this is pretty
It's schmick. A level of professionalism, which I've never had. So it sort of feels good to be here. And I didn't like...
Oh, I feel out of place, to be honest.
Mate, you fit it very well. Tony Armstrong, as I've said, welcome to the Dylan Friends podcast. It's an honour and a pleasure to have you on the show. Jeez, man, there's a lot to get through today and we will just start. We'll just firstly, because it's a new stew, I messaged you today... And I said to you, out of the blue, because this is just an idea I have ideas and I just run with it. And I said, what would be cool, because I made you the sign, is if we could get a guest to bring something. So yes. As you can see, the stew is very, very bland at the moment. There's nothing. It's very minimal.
It's pretty sparse.
It's minimalistic.
Yeah.
Sparse is good.
Yeah, we're into our Danish design. Yeah.
Yes, minimalistic Danish style. But I said, if you could bring me a gift, that would be awesome. But I didn't want something, like, I didn't want you to spend money. I was sort of thinking, and this is where I feel bad, because I've asked you to
should,
bring me a gift.
And you should. So you asked me to bring a gift for you on your own show. So, oh, by the way, as penance, or as, you know.
Break bread.
Yeah. So, like, for you to be on this show, you have to give me something.
What I was thinking was more like you'd bring me something stupid, something miscellaneous. Something like a bit of a nuance, maybe like an old parking ticket that had a story behind it, like a maybe something like a little coin you found or something that I can just put on the shelf somewhere and add. You've just been a good bloke and bought me a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And I just feel terrible.
And it's not that one. So I was already out for my day, and then I get this bloody message. Yeah, mate, if you just, because obviously it's a big deal that you come on my show.
It's not.
And you'll be growing your fan base for coming on my show. I think you need to bring me a gift, which is how he worded it. I was like, shit, I'm already out the door, brother. Far out, man. Give me more than 3.5 hours. So when I went in to buy that bottle of wine, which I thought we might share throughout the podcast, I saw this bottle of wine next to
it. That's beautiful.
And it kind of looks like Popeye, and that's it, really.
No,
so. That's the level of thought that's gone into it. And I guess, am I the first guest who's paid to be on the podcast? Everyone else, this is how much of a bottom feeder I am. I've paid to be on the podcast.
I regret this so much, but I think it's like, I just wish I explained it a little bit better, but I'm so happy with the gift. I honestly am, because I'm
Dylan. That's yours.
Thank you so much. And no, just for everyone out there, it's a Shiraz. So I
love
Shiraz.
It's a bold Shiraz.
And we are bold on this show. So we will definitely drink that later.
No, don't drink that. We'll drink this
We'll drink that. But this is going on. So I'm going to have some shelves over there and put it up there and display everything.
Yeah. So anyway, now I've paid. Can we talk about me?
No. Yeah. No, seriously. Well done. I really do appreciate that. Very kind. Very kind. You've got your sign. So well done.
Yeah. I mean, I guess cardboard, wine, sure.
Tony, as we said earlier, mate, so much to talk about. You've done it all, really. And we met, I'm going to say, in 2000.
Outduction.
So the outduction camp, for everyone wondering, you used to work for the AFL Players Association. You want to explain?
Yeah, so like basically, I guess, outduction camp probably makes sense in that you've likely been delisted. Well, that was where we found ourselves anyway.
Three times,
yeah. Whatever. You know, got to be good to get delisted three times. I guess not what normally happens, previous to this first ever outduction camp, there's always an induction camp into the AFL, and the induction camps all around social media policy, mental health, financial literacy, all that kind of stuff as you go into your career. But the thing a lot of people, as you know, don't really think about is what happens once you're done.
Yes.
And it's that's the hops. And it's quite scary. In that, you know, you spend your maybe not your whole life, but you spend your whole playing career focusing so narrowly on trying to be good, especially when you're
which one's that? So that was the. That's I probably should have showed you that. That's the red one. Yes.
Okay.
We'll cut that.
Cool. Yeah. No, let's cut that. So we're gonna pick up from that bit, but I just burped before it. The outduction camp is all about trying to help footballers realize that they actually have a lot of skill sets which transfer into the real world. And there never was one until 2017.
That was the first one.
Yeah, 2017, 2016.
I reckon it was 2016 to 17.
Yes. So delisted off the back of 16 and then re-rookied into 17. Yeah. That's where we met. But yeah, it was a couple of idiots who hadn't... Well, sorry. I was an idiot. I wasn't sure if you were an idiot.
Definitely there.
And we were just like, like, shit.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? Like, I was working at the AFLPA at the time, but I knew that that wasn't what I wanted to do. But I was just doing it because it's where I was. Like, I clearly had a passion for footy and a passion for people, but when I kind of projected 10 years ahead, it wasn't still working at the AFLPA. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of how we met, and that's what the...
Do you remember what we... What we spoke about?
We were speaking about media. It's literally so weird, man.
So weird, man.
So weird. Like, you're a big star and I have to pay to come on your podcast. And oh, man, it's like, far out. We've just had different careers.
That's not true. But what we were saying was, I remember honestly just chatting with you and we were just sort of brainstorming. And I do speak about this a lot on the podcast. People probably get sick of it. But that time, I think, there's those defining moments in your life. And that was that month for me was like the most hectic, scariest time ever. Like, I just remember going to that camp being like, I've done, like, what have I fucking done the last 6 years of my life? Like what have I done?
I think with that as well, like, now, not that I've made it or anything like that, but I'm, you know, confident in where I'm going. But when, like in that time, you're not gentle on yourself in that.
No.
You're trying so hard when you're playing footy to make it in footy. Like, and everyone around you tells you, you know, every sacrifice you have to make is about making your football better. It's so everything else drowns out. So you kind of sacrifice a lot of personal growth to try to be good at footy. And then when you have a career like we did, where
electrifying,
stunning, you know, traveled Australia to play footy at the highest level. But like when you're in and out every week, it's really hard because so much of your week is stressed around, am I going to get picked?
Yeah.
And like, you can't even enjoy a win because like straight after a win, you're like, far out, did I play well enough?
Yeah.
Like, so then that manifests into your day to day. And then when you get to the end of it, you go, well, fuck me. I've just tipped all those years of effort
into that.
I didn't get what I wanted out of it. Now I'm here with nothing. What the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah, it's scary. But I also think as well on that, and I know you would agree with this, because I think I would not change anything that happened in my career for like anything, because I learned so, like, those downs of like getting dropped and all this shit, like, it just set you up for like the resilience of coming out of footy, and like, you can just adapt so much quicker and transfer so much quicker.
100%. And I would not argue. I would say that because I didn't play the 350 games, win the 8 Brownlows that I thought I was going to.
Stiff.
Yeah, must have been. Don't think I recorded a vote. I think I would have got like fourth a few times or something. But yeah,
definitely.
But like, if you have that career, you can't then go and carve a name doing something
different
in the public eye that's not, but it's so much harder because you're typecast.
Yeah.
It's like Daniel Craig. You look at him and he's James Bond. You look at Adam Goods and he's just Adam Goods the footballer. Mm. You look at those other, and you know.
Yeah.
Whereas because, and I'll say this a lot, but, and this is like assumed knowledge, but like, because we didn't have the career that we probably wanted to.
Yes.
It actually allows us to kind of, I guess, be associated with what we're doing at the time now. So, for instance, you're now a media personality as opposed to being former footballer. Whereas if you had have played 250 games,
footballer,
you know, it's like, you know, ex-footballer, current media commentator.
I know. And that's something that I think towards the end of my career always played on me. Like, I hated being identified as a footballer because, like, I didn't want... My biggest thing, and like, this is honestly one of the reasons I started the show, was I was like, I know so many cool people, but no one gets to see them like I do. And I was like, well, you know, for example,
What a great insight.
And I was like, well, like, say I know Tony Armstrong. Because he played shit on the weekend, you might think he's a terrible person. He's a shit bloke.
He's a shocker.
He's a shocker. So a bad example.
Yeah,
so,
shocking. So, don't use me. Don't use me
someone,
as a good bloke.
Someone else. Say someone else, right? They say they're a terrible bloke. They go, oh, I hate that bloke. My mates would even say, they go, fuck me.
Phil Davis, shocker.
He's a shocking bloke. And I go, mate, You fucking don't know him from Barra. He's one of the best blokes you've ever met. So it's not, that was that label on things was something where I was like, well, because I was started the podcast, I was like, well, I got more judged on being a person than being a player. Because that's what I was going to say. Don't ever judge someone on their playing ability as what they are as a person. Because obviously, sometimes it's probably the opposite.
Well, some of like the most ruthless, competitive, playing to structure footballers are the biggest, like loose as.
Oh, okay. I was going to say flogs.
No, I mean, but you know.
I know where you're going. Sorry. I know I was going on a different track with that.
Yeah. Hey, look, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
No. No, but like, you know, so your perception of them would be, oh, nerd.
Yeah.
You know, but then like stiff, they're a nerd. But then when you see them away from the footy club, they're in, like, so Ed Curno, for instance.
Yes, yes.
He does everything.
Discipline tagger. Like,
yeah. And the bloke's off his head in crazy. The best way possible.
Yes.
Like does all of his work, but then his interests, like the things he does off field. Like, he started renovating his own house without
any knowledge of even
without renovating. No building degree, just started knocking down a wall. Like, this is the kind of guy we're talking about, but then he will tag Jack Stephen out of a game.
He's incredible. And on Ed Curno, I just remembered something, because when I was at Carlton, I remember one day, it was early in the career, and it was sort of like, as a young kid, you stick to the structure. You know, the number one thing was don't do anything outside the program. And because Ed's such a fitness freak,
he's a beast, mate.
On weekends in preseason, we were doing like 50K weeks or something, and then the club found out somehow by watching the news. He was doing the City to Surf or something like that. Like, he was going and like doing these marathons on the weekends, and then would go down to like the Lawn Pier to pub and swim. And they're like, mate, what, like, the fuck are you doing?
Mate, so he and I were drafted same year to Adelaide.
Yeah.
So he was a rookie there. I was on the senior list, similar careers, I suppose. There was one preseason session we did, we were doing the, there's like the uni loop in Adelaide, and then right near it, there's fucking hell, I'll get good at that soon. And then right near it is this golf course, and there was like the 13th hole, and it was like 200 meters like that, right?
Yep.
Ed won, so like we kind of did like a 3-quarter pace kind of time trial there, and then it was like hill runs for an hour, and Ed won them all.
Mm.
But on the last one, he like just started spewing because he, you know, pushed himself to the absolute limit.
Freak of nature.
And everyone's like, Schwerty, Stephen Schwert, who was the head of strength and conditioning, was like, all right, we'll leave Ed here. We'll all run back. And so we leave. It's like a 10-minute run. We're like 3 minutes into the run. We've left him there. And then he just goes flying past. It's just like, he's just been spewing. We've left him. We're 3 minutes in the run, and he just goes flying past everyone and just beats us back to the uni loop. Like, the bloke's insane.
Insane, man. Insane. So he's so good.
He's the
best. I just remembered something else. Ed Curno used to just rib into me so much, just for multiple things. But, like, we'd had a very, very funny relationship in terms of it nearly made me cry. But I remember there was this one time, and this is – it's – I'm going to tell this story. Okay. So we're at training, and you know how like when you're like running and you're doing fitness like that. So say it's that story, right? And Ed's like smashed, say we got 10 reps of something.
Yeah.
He smashed 9 of them. And in my first year, you know how.
Oh, you sprinted on the last one?
Last rep hero.
You're a fucking dog.
I know.
Mate.
I'm a dog.
So but I'm the host of the podcast now. This is now Tone and Friends, and Dylan Buckley's been sacked.
So
he's a fucking dog.
Seriously, because that was in my first year.
I'm not sure if you still are, but
I'm not anymore.
Quick.
I was quick.
Quick
as but
shit.
Like, in saying that, I'm throwing myself under the bus here. Like, definitely could have gone harder from reps like 7, 8.
I know.
But like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, so I knew I was never gonna, and it was one of those ones where like if you win it, you're out, sort of thing. Like, you don't have to like keep going.
You don't have to
do like the end. So I was like, fuck me, I've really got to dig deep here. Anyway, so like for the last...
I already know.
I'm ashamed of this, by the way, and it taught me this, to never do this. But I reckon for like a good 2 years, he just called me Last Rep Hero. Last Rep Hero for 2 years. He goes, Last Rep Hero, here he is.
Nice one, the Last Rep Hero. And you know how he's like He's a bit odd in the way he talks. Oh, last rep here, and you're
here
like,
he is. Yeah. What do I do?
Am I getting sledged here?
But mate, to be honest, I haven't even asked you a question that I've got down here yet. But I'm enjoying
Who
the free
cares?
Throw. Okay, cool. Yeah,
let's go hard. Well, it's your. Well, it's mine now.
it's true.
Yeah. So Dylan,
I actually do want to get to some things because
okay. Go on.
It's an interesting story in terms of born in Sydney.
Yes,
but you. Like inner city Sydney, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So
I used to live in Sydney, you know that.
Pretty familiar with it. You were huge in Sydney, so you keep telling us. That was the other part of the text. Yeah. It was like, can you bring something on? Because obviously I'm bigger than you and also I'm from Sydney. Most of the family's Northern Beaches, so between Manly and Narrabeen.
Yeah, nice.
Grandma's place is in Collaroy. But Mum and I... Mum didn't grow up out there, but I grew up out west. So like Cabramatta, Fairfield,
Jesus.
Yeah, so like west.
That's scary.
West, on the Bankstown line.
So, okay, that's a lot. Because I was speaking to someone today and they said that you grew up in like Paddington. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Because
I was born in Paddington.
Okay.
At the Royal Women's. Yes. Which doesn't exist anymore.
No. And there's a park there. That's where I proposed to my fiance, at that park, FYI.
Kind of feel like I had something to do with that
somehow. You did. Anyway, back to Fairfield. So, funny thing about Fairfield was, because we were at the Giants. I was at the Giants. You weren't. Sorry. And
don't ever talk for me.
I went out to Fairfield one day. Mate, that's scary out there. I'll be honest. I was pretty petrified. Like, it's a lot. Like, when you live in Sydney, you learn a lot about the gangs. There was a lot of gangs out in Fairfield. Like, shooting, like the biking gangs.
So Fairfield, that we never actually lived in Fairfield. I just said that because people know where that is.
Yes.
So we actually lived in Cabramatta.
Cabba.
Which used to have the nickname Stabramatta.
Ooh.
And there was a lot of triad gang activity there.
Oh, yeah.
And you know when you're like a kid and you don't really realize what's happening?
Yeah.
Mum and I were walking home from the train station one day. Mum's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she taught at the same school I went to. So that was a fucking nightmare in terms of getting paid out. your mum's a teacher. Yeah. And she gives me nothing. Yeah. Anyway, we're walking home one day and there's like all these unmarked police. Like I kind of remember it with a bit of dissonance. There's like all these unmarked police like with guns and stuff and bulletproof vests. And like Mum and I need to walk through this to get home. I went walking along and then like you just hear a couple of bangs and then there's like some dude over on the ground and I'm like seven. So I like go over to look and Mum's like, Tony, no, because she's like worried that this guy's going to see my face. But yeah, it was like police v triad shootout.
You're kidding. Really?
Just in the streets.
So did someone get shot?
Yeah. Some dude got shot.
One of the police or the triad?
No, the triad people. But like...
This is
the thing. Like, I don't remember being scared. Or worried. I was like interested. I was like, oh, big bangs, you know.
A tough guy.
Well, I've never been able to make plans on a Saturday night because I'm always going back with the flight.
Yeah, it happens.
And I'm like, well, look, I can't commit to the Saturday night's plans because I might get knocked out, you know.
I never had that trouble.
Oh, mate.
Front and center.
No, it's always lose it in the sun. Yeah. Where is it? Turn around and crump.
Nothing worse than a turtleneck. And I don't even want to talk about that because I've already embarrassed myself once. So, what was then the transition? Because Assumption College is in Kilmore.
Yeah.
So how did that?
So there's a bit in between. So off the back of living out there, there's a whole, like, so there's this army base in the west of Sydney called the Holsworthy Army Base.
Mm-hmm.
And
join the army.
Join the army. What's that Simpsons song? Ivan et Nioj. Join the Navy. Anyway, do we have to credit the Simpsons? Anyway, I always wanted to play rugby league. So I wanted to be a halfback, a 5'8".
Billy Slater.
No, he's a fullback.
Okay.
But sure, we'll go with that. The next one you're going to say is Cam Smith, and he's a hooker. But Mum was like, no, you can't play that. You're too small. You're too lithe. And I was like, but she goes, you can play footy, because one of the teachers, her husband was in the army. They're from South Australia. So now I started playing footy at Liverpool Eagles.
And that's very early days too for footy in Western Sydney.
Yeah. This is 99. Yeah, because that year I went and watched Pluggers 1300th at the SCG.
Plugger.
Yeah, he kicked 9 that day on Mal Michael. Everyone forgets that.
Plugger,
beast. Anyway, so mum wanted a sea change, so she moved with me to a little town just out of Albury. And I got there in year 6, and this town was called Brockles, well, still is, called Brock. Yeah, they changed it. It's now Tony Armstrongville. No. So this town's Brocklesby. Home of Justin Kaczynski.
Ah, Coz. Excuse me. Shout out.
Yeah, big Coz, number 2 draft pick, rising star winner, same draft as Nick Revolt. Anyway, why am I saying that? Anyway, and then from there, I went to Assumption College.
Football Factory.
Yeah, the Footy Factory, as BT likes to call it. They produce some better than others, I suppose.
Who was in your year? Did you have any there?
No.
You went to school with kids, obviously, but did any get picked up?
No. So I was the only one.
These things happen.
So the team sucked. Yeah. No, like, we were playing this Pegs team, Penley, Essendon, Grammar.
Yes.
Jackson Trengrove in the ruck, Trent Cotchin, Adam Marrick. I don't know if you remember
Marrick. I know Nick Marrick.
Yeah,
his brother.
Yeah, so
it was one of the best players I've ever seen.
So Adam, as a junior footballer, he kicked 10 as a 16-year-old in the TAC Cup on Dan Connors.
Yes.
Who was all Australian that year. So, like, this kid was... So those three, and then Dylan Joyce, who won a Morris medal.
Yes.
Morris.
I
never had to worry about the enunciation because I was never near it.
And by the way, don't offend me like that, because I also played in that competition.
Did you really? Marcelin?
I don't know. We were honestly the worst team, like, you could probably ever, like, you rocked up playing us and you knew it was, you'd have 40 and kick 3.
Well, that was like what it was like normally for us playing you little city pricks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then from there, being the first only guy to be picked up from your team, mind you.
Yeah. Adelaide. Finished high school on the Friday, got like had my media exam. Saturday caught the train home. So over in New South Wales, then get drafted on the Saturday, move to Adelaide on the Sunday, start on the Monday.
Crazy, man.
Wild. People don't understand what it's like.
Did you know you were going to move?
No.
Like, did you know you were going to go, like, were you a chance to move in? Well, you were always going to have to move because you were country.
Yeah. But, like, I had no idea. Like, I broke my arm 3/4 of the way through the year and didn't get to play much TAC Cup. So
you're number one.
I just would have probably shored up the top 3 position in the draft, I think. Fucking hell. Yeah, headlines out of this: Armstrong should have been number one, robbed of a 15-year career, and wouldn't be doing podcasts where he has to pay to be on. But yeah, like, you know, like, you just don't know. Like, it's different. It's different father son.
Oh, yeah.
It's different when you're just a jet.
Yeah,
you know
sort of where you're going to go.
You know, and
I was lucky because I had that, though. So the first time I knew, like, I was already there and it was like, you know, you're going here. But the second time, you know, I was literally had no idea I was getting picked up. I watched that rookie draft on dial-up fucking internet. It refreshed 5-9 names at a time popping up. I was like, what the fuck's going on? Saw, like, my name and I was like, I didn't even tell my missus. I was like, we're moving to Sydney. I flew out that night.
It's fuck. And the thing is, there's scant regard to...
I'm right.
There's... I actually didn't get you a glass. You can have this one. I'll get another if you want.
No. I've already offended you enough.
Sorry. That's fucking bullshit by me, that's actually. Okay. I'm pretty pissed off. I'll learn from that, mate. Start, stop, keeps. Stop only getting your own glass. Fucking hell. I spent 8 years in 3 clubs trying to get away from leading teams.
We could talk about that for a while.
So
Adelaide.
Yeah, so getting drafted. So I'm a little bit older than you. And we're in a, so I was in the New South Wales side of like Albury Wodonga of the Riverina. And this is back in 07 and they weren't televising the draft. They weren't doing anything like that. Like there was like not even like we had, we actually had dial up internet. So I was like,
yeah. People don't know that, man.
Oh, what, man. That was like bad. So fucked.
So bad.
Anyway, so I know the draft's on and we're listening to the radio, like the local, whatever, Albury Gold FM or whatever it is. And they're giving like the after every round, the update.
Mm.
So, you know, you go to bed the night before, you like can't sleep. You wake up the next day, whoa, it's 3 a.m. You know, I'm keen as for this draft.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, can we just have the fucking draft? excuse me. I keep it, but I'm giving up on that.
No, don't worry.
And I'm there getting these updates and they're like, Ben McAvoy picked 9 to St Kilda, local boy from Talangata. And you're like, oh yeah, sick.
Nice Macca.
Sick, big boy. He wasn't called big boy then. He was called Macca. Anyway, so like the draft keeps going and then because you obviously get picked up in between the updates.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So like you don't hear it as it happens.
Yeah.
And so I'm like out the back, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's done. Like it's a rookie thing, whatever. And then like every single phone in the house goes off. And the first person I fucking answered to was one of my best mates from boarding school. He's like, mate, congrats. I'm like, what's happened? He's like, you've been picked up to, you know, the Crows. I'm like, what? And then like, I'm like, oh, mate, like I've got another call coming through. Hang up. It's like, Neil Craig. And he's like, Tony, you must be excited. I'm like, yeah, mate, my best mate just told me. I've just been picked up to the So like, Craig, he didn't even get to speak to me first. Like, it's my best mate. He's like, and yeah, but like, mum's like fielding all the house phones. She's like, yeah.
So exciting.
And then, yeah, and then they go, oh, by the way, yeah, we've got your flight booked already. And then the next day I had schoolies booked, going to the Gold Coast, classy. And
nothing better than Cavalav.
And another one of my best mates from boarding school, he's like so disconnected with football. So I'm at Tullamarine Airport as well in a different part because I'm flying to Adelaide. And he's calling me on the phone being like, hey, man, like, where are you? Our flight's just about to board.
Yes.
I've got a career now, I think. So
we're not friends anymore.
Yeah. So also delete the number as soon as you get the chance because I can't talk to the likes of you. Yeah, so bye.
You know, I can't move on from something because my heart rate went up 100 beats.
Go on.
As soon as you said the word Neil Craig.
Yeah, I mean, Craig is one of those guys.
How was he for you?
Like, I guess I got to preface it by saying I got a lot of respect for what he did.
So do I, actually. Can I say that as well? Or is it too late?
Yeah, no. No, it's not too late. But I think with him, like he and I, we really struggled in that I got there. You got to keep, I guess, context in mind. I've just come out of boarding school. I'm a fucking idiot. I'm an idiot who is only okay at footy, like good enough to be drafted. But, you know, you walk in at the bottom.
Yes.
As everyone knows. And it took me a while to mature. But off the back of that, like his mind, like he just always perceived me as that 18-year-old kid, as opposed to going, well, fuck, you know, accepting that there can be growth.
Yeah.
And it was.
Coaches always say you don't have a, like, I don't lock you into something, but.
No, they do. They
do.
That fast.
And everyone does. Like, that's. You know, you sort of...
Yeah, no. Everyone knows because it's natural because what's that saying? You know, like first impressions last, right? But then it's like, well, fuck me. Like, you might have got me on a bad day. You might have... And, like, you'd be thinking this all the time with your fame. Like, like when people come up to you and they want to talk to you, you're like, far out. I've got to be nice because what if they get Dil Buckley on a bad day and they tweet about it?
No one does that.
And, well, you just asked me to say about the fame. Like, it's just here.
I did not.
Ask Dylan about fame. No. But, yeah, no. Craigie was... he was tough. Like, I probably wasn't, I wasn't mature enough to be able to get him.
Yeah.
But then also, I didn't really, like for instance, sorry, this is what I wanted to talk about. When you were talking about the vision and the clips that he pulls out, right? Like, coaches can build or break down perception amongst playing group off the back of the edits they choose. So, for instance, I might see one of our best players dog it in a contest, but that doesn't get shown.
Yeah. Oh, that was...
But then what ends up happening is they show you losing like a genuine 50-50 where the other guy's obviously just better because I sucked, right?
Yeah.
But I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
And like, I'm trying my hardest. Whereas you see someone and then like this happened to me. I raised this with someone at Collingwood.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, yeah, but it does. And they were like, no, but like, you know.
Don't question them.
They're like, oh no, we trust him.
Yeah.
So, well, why the fuck do you trust that behavior when I'm there busting my like that's obviously that guy's a gun.
Yeah.
I'm not questioning whether or not he's a gun, but why don't you show that edit?
Yeah.
Instead of showing the one where a guy's clearly trying and just got beaten.
Yeah.
And that's how they paint the narrative. And it's not like this isn't me sitting here going, I would have made it had it not been for that. This is me just going, it's so easy. Like, it's the same as the media we consume, right? Like, we all, like, so many people read News Corp or Fairfax and all that kind of stuff, and everyone's just, like, everyone thinks the ABC is left-leaning, whereas it's actually just the middle, but it's just to the left of everything else.
Yes.
So everyone's perception is, oh, but whereas that's not the reality.
Yes.
And that's the same thing as the footy.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, and that could be, like, footy is a funny, but, like, footy's... set you up for, like, it's life as well.
Do you want a beer?
Yeah. That'd be nice. Footy, yeah, it's sort of like that, I suppose, in terms of, yeah. No, it's, I don't even have anything more to say on that, to be honest. I think we've sort of covered it.
Yeah.
I don't think we need me to.
Go on. No, just sum it up in one sentence.
It's footy is cool. Now, how did, because the transition from Adelaide to Sydney was a trade.
Yes. Yeah.
Lewis.
Yeah.
Tomlinson. Lewis.
No.
Fuck me.
Can we Google him? Do you have...
Nah, it's I don't like...
No. I know. Lewis Johnson.
Yeah. Lewis Johnson. And he was a very good player too. Very straight kick.
Oh, electric kick. I'm pretty sure he's still playing his trade at Nord.
Fantastic. And now. best to him. Best
yes. Player. No. Yeah. So went up to Sydney. Yeah, had a pretty rough last year at the nice. Had a pretty rough last year at the Crows.
What happened?
So I got, fuck, it was an absolute stinker. So in the off season of like 2010 into 11, I got done DUI.
And shouldn't then, do that.
You're a fucking idiot, right? That's why I Uber everywhere.
Yeah.
Anytime I'm thinking about having a drink,
yes,
because I'm just so scared, right? And because it's just the wrong thing to do.
Yep. Yeah, that was.
Yeah. No, I'm scared of hurting people and myself.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, just got to be clear, you know. Didn't deal with it well. Like fucking blew the bag big time. Was flying out to Europe with my best mate like a day later. It was just a shit show.
Yeah.
Like I'd finished 2010 playing sort of 9 games or something, was ready to take the next step, whatever. And even up till then, Craig, he was the coach at the time, wasn't really big on me. And then this happened. That's like the nail in the coffin. Yeah.
And that is probably fair enough, isn't it? Like when you do, you're allowed to have mistakes, but like,
yeah,
you know, if that mistake was someone else, what would happen?
Well, I guess what that did is that was just confirmation bias to him. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, obviously.
Yeah.
Of course he did, you know, and that's fine. Like you're allowed to have that. And then I had like the best, so anyway, off to Europe. Spoke
was that,
to.
Was that fun?
It was mint. It was mint. So good.
Swag.
And then, yeah, spoke to Craigie when I was in Copenhagen. It was a pretty terse conversation. But, yeah, like came back, trained the house down all preseason, and then did a syndesmosis, missed a bunch of games, like came straight back, played some really good sample, wasn't get, like playing unbelievable sample, wasn't getting picked. We, as a in terms of the Crows, couldn't get a game. Well, sorry, not couldn't get a game. Couldn't win a game. Craigie and the club parted ways, and Mark Bickley starts coaching.
Bickers.
And then I played the year out with Bix.
Oh, nice.
But as this was happening, the Swans were into me.
Ah, cool.
And I grew up barracking for the Swans, and it was actually pretty funny. We went on our game day. You know, like the game day activation walk that you do when you're interstate. You might play a bit of soccer or whatever. Anyway, Horse Longmire had called me, and I just didn't like. See, I was such a fucking idiot. Like, I didn't really like. I really respected what I was doing, but I didn't respect things in the moment sometimes.
Yeah,
and like things had happened, and then I go, "Oh God,
that was cool."
So Horse didn't ring knowing I was, he just wanted to chat about, you know, trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm just walking along and I'm just chatting to him. And then after the call, like this is game day. And I'm like, and then afterwards I'm like, fuck, I should have just called him after.
Yeah.
like that's not a great look. And like there was nothing sinister from anyone. It was just me again.
Yeah.
Probably not respecting the situation at the time. And anyway, we get fucking thumped. And like I thought for all intents and purposes, I was getting delisted by the Crows. Anyway, on the flight back, the GM came up to me and he's like, "Oh, by the way, we're gonna offer you a contract." And I was like, "Oh fuck, the ship sailed." Well, I didn't say it to him. I was like, "Oh, so I've got a manager who's earning like 8 cents off me."
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh yeah, sick. Just talk to Peter Lenton. You know, Sonny's back on clearly in business class." But like, you know, like it's, and then got up to Sydney and I'm like, fucking oath. Like grew up barracking for him.
Yeah.
Woodsy's still there. Got to wear the 19, which is Mickey O's number.
I love Mickey O.
Oh man, fucking hell. Like,
that would have been cool.
Oh, the sickest thing ever. And yeah, like I don't get nostalgic. I don't get you know, in the feels about much, but like getting to play for the Swans was the fucking best.
Yeah,
it was the best.
No, it's definitely right. Like, there's so many things in footy that people think you'd find special, but it's actually like the little things like that you know, even just like going to a team where you grew up. I suppose, like for me, it was even just like, yeah, like getting my first game at Giants was like, that was nearly the biggest thing ever. Like,
tell me, so obviously Carlton, father son,
yeah,
showed glimpses, fucking almost like almost broke through,
almost.
Then you go to this, yeah, fuck. I mean, it's a long line, that one. But then you get to the Giants. Tell me about like what that's like, knowing how good they are. And looking around you and seeing all these fucking guns, and then getting your football to a level in a competition that's not that good.
Yeah.
Where they go, fuck, we're going to bring him in. Like,
well, it's more like, yeah, but it's I've never really thought about it like that, but in terms of it, the difference between debuting at Carlton and debuting at Giants was, there was always, like, this never bothered me at all with the father-son thing, but there's always a thing there, like, is he just getting a game because of this sort of thing?
His mum's the teacher.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's the exact same thing,
right?
So I
was like, fuck, when I went to the Giants, I was like, this is the youngest club in the AFL and I'm a rookie. I'm on $3 a week. Like,
fucking heaps,
I'm literally,
man,
paying my way to play this club because I'm like...
Well, some of us pay to get on podcasts, all right?
Yeah, and so don't feel bad about it. So don't feel bad. Don't talk shit about that, okay? Because I paid to play. I played Reggio at the time.
I've already fucking tweeted it, mate. It's going viral. Yeah, I paid Reggio.
I was literally there and I was like, fuck, this actually just feels good because I was like, they don't have to play me if they didn't want to. Like, I was just there to help out.
They don't have to pay me either.
Well, they didn't. That wasn't that. They technically had to, but they was very minimal. And it wasn't for the money. Let's just put it that way. No, but it was just cool.
That's the other thing. It never is.
No, it wasn't, honestly. It wasn't.
KO's got you covered this footy season with every game of every round live and ad break free during play. Big games these weeks, my friends. Fremantle versus Collingwood. Oh my God, Lachie Schultz is coming up against his own team. Cannot wait to watch that one. That's live with no ad breaks during play. Carlton versus Gold Coast. My goodness gracious me. Levi Casbolt Cup. Live with no ad breaks during play. Exclusively in Victoria, that one. And then Geelong versus the Giants. Live with no ad breaks during play. Exclusive in Victoria. Jezza Cameron against his old mob. Don't forget Tanner Bruin. My goodness gracious, that's going to be exciting to see those two teams go to each other. It's two teams that I think will be there in September as well. Then the NBA playoffs, my friends. Watch every game of both the Eastern and Western Conferences. Finals live with ESPN on KO. There's plenty of room for everyone, so get on board with KO now. Also available on Hubble.
But, Sydney. I want to talk about Sydney still because Sydney to me is very special. There's so many iconic places in Sydney. I know you still get back there a lot because of you're from there. And you've got friends up at the Swan still.
Yep.
Give me your three. I probably should have worded you up about this, but give me like your three favorite things about Sydney. And it could be like pubs, could be restaurants, could be like just a certain beach, could be a
Sydney
certain place.
Itself. Or
I want to say Eastern Sydney, just because it's probably what I'm familiar with, so I could relate to it.
But so you lived in the Triangle. You were Paddo.
I was the Prince of Paddington.
I'm sorry.
I was the Prince of Paddington. Oh, sorry. I am the Prince of Paddington still.
This is so confusing to me because no one took the crown off me and that's what I call myself. So, I don't know. I mean,
this
should we cut?
So
should we?
That you were from Cabramatta.
Yeah. But then I lived in Paddo. Yeah, and I was born there. Where were you born? Tell me. Sorry.
I got engaged at the...
No. I'm a bit confused. Where were you born?
Actually born in Ballarat, but...
Yeah. Oh, sick. Woo! Yeah, oh, no. Well, I mean, Ballarat's cool, man. Like, I guess, you know, it's close.
Okay, let's... Princes of Paddington. Princes of Paddington. Talk me through...
No. Paddington royalty has a chat.
Paddington royalty has a chat, literally. Talk me through your institutions there, because I have a couple.
Okay, so I lived like...
What street did you live on?
Glen Street, Paddington, which was 5 metres away from the Five Ways.
Oh, okay.
So I was just down the hill on the left. I lived with Tommy Walsh.
Irish.
Big Irish fella.
Big boy.
Best bloke ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I lived there. Oh, shit. So I hated the inner west scene. Sorry, inner east.
Yeah, same. But you don't know anyone, so it's cool.
No.
But you probably did.
So I used to go to the Chippendale Hotel, which is just the other side of Central Station. It's a mate's pub, fucking sick. I used to go there. I used to go to, it used to be called The Standard, which was in Oxford Square, kind of like just off Oxford Street and Crown.
Yes.
And what else? And I'm not sure, was Jackie's thing?
Yeah, Jackie's is there. Yeah, that was, I think it's, you were probably at the peak stage of that.
Oh, and so yeah.
Saw Buddy Franklin there once. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. He,
you know him. You know him.
He brushed
well.
Me once.
You guys are friends.
Yeah.
That's pretty
friends.
Cool.
Friends. Probably a stretch. Brothers. Yeah. No. We played international rules together.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think he looked at me once.
Which was sick. No, I actually touched him once. a couple of places I know you will love, but I've never spoken about this. I've always wanted to. How good South Dowling sandwiches?
Oh, unbelievable, man. And so underrated.
It's, for anyone who doesn't...
The caramelised carrots?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
holy shit, man.
They make these sandwiches and they're big too. And the best thing is they make it with pure venom. Like, it's not like a sandwich you'd make for someone. Like, they just get it and just go, like, you know, let's throw it on, like, real rough, just...
And like, What were
potatoes?
So the way we're describing this probably sounds like some kind of you know like Amazon production line, but it's not. It's made with like love, and you're talking
but rough.
But
it's sort of like you
it's
go
firm,
in there.
But
the first time you go in there too, you need an order like sort of know what you need someone to word you up.
No soup for you.
It's so quick. It's so quick. You literally, they're like, what do you want? You're like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know what he had. Yeah, he goes, yeah, cool. Eggplant lasagna coming right up. Fuck, not again.
That's one. Paddington, being Paddington royalty, someone that actually is royalty. And apparently there's a funny story with Hugo Weaving. So Hugo Weaving isn't, I'm going to get him up just on this. Is he an actor, yeah.
He's King of the Elves. He's Agent Smith. He was in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah, so he's in. Yeah,
he was V in V for Vendetta.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a Paddington man. Like he's a very. He lives there.
He's the most lovely man ever. So, surprise, 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 surprise. Hang on. Should I get a photo of him up as well?
Oh, do you have one with him?
Yeah. Cool. No. So this photo of he and I comes much later in the piece. Actually, I'll bring it up because the story circles around. So I'm having a chat with Jared Crouch, who is the twos coach, and obviously I was playing twos,
yes.
but also the development coach at the Swans. But also, let's not forget that Jared Crouch had the consecutive games record. I think it was something like 256 back-to-back games in the AFL, premiership player, Swans life member. Like this bloke is and was a gun.
Yeah.
And then you've got, at the time, maybe 25-game firebrand, Tony Armstrong. And we're at Sonoma, which used to be just down the hill.
I know Sonoma.
On Glenmore Road.
Yep.
Just down the hill from the Royal. And where they're having like a chat because, again, my form is just wanting. And he's like, oh, fuck, what can I do with this idiot? And he takes me out for a coffee. So we have a coffee and a chalky croissant. And I was like, fuck, skinnies, mate. What even are they? I'm skinny fat. Still am.
Scat.
Yeah, I know. Scat. Anyway, I'm like, oh, sick, mate. Crouchy, thanks. Thanks so much. And we start walking out of Sonoma. And we like walk out, turn left. There's fucking Hugo Weaving with his wife. And Hugo just goes, Tony Armstrong. Hugo Weaving. Big fan. And in my mind, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Don't ever introduce yourself to me. You are King of the Elves. You're Agent Smith. I'm like, yeah, great to meet you, mate. Yeah. And then so like, what? Nothing said again.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like we get like 5 more meters and Crouchy goes, and what the fuck am I, mate? Chopped fucking liver? Fucking premiership player, 250 games.
How like, do you know you?
Yeah, I don't know, right? I've got no idea.
Loves a Neefle.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big Neefle fan. Yeah, yeah.
Big all right, imagine if he must love me.
He's big into Neefle halfbacks. I'd been dining out on this story for years. And then the Australian Dream premiere was, I think, fuck, was it last year? Yeah. It was last year, midway through last year. And at the premiere, of course, clearly, because I'm black, and played with Goodie, and cruising around with a mate, and so we're in our suits and whatever, and we're out the back after the show, and you know, you're loading up on the free booze, basically, because I'm skint, and my mate goes, don't fuck, mate, that's fucking Hugo fucking Weaving. I'm like, I've had a skinful at this point. And I'm like, Hugo. And he just goes, Tony Armstrong.
No.
Like across the room. And then we proceeded to have like 5 bottles of wine between us. I'll find this photo. It's got to be in my favorites. So this is my friend. This is my mate and Hugo. Oh,
that is so good.
And then this is Hugo and I in love.
There you go. Hugo.
Yeah, Hugo.
Look at Hugo.
Fucking hell. He is
He's a beautiful
it's
man.
It's impressive. It's impressive. I haven't got anything like that, unfortunately.
No.
It shows about you.
No, I saw Harry Kuehl once. Actually, fuck. So, you know how like whenever you go to New York, if you ever go to New York, people are like, who did you see?
Oh, yeah.
My mates and I, like, we're at the last morning of a 12-day New York trip.
Yeah.
We're sitting in this, like decrepit pizza joint in Little Italy. We're just, you know, like the dollar slice, chili, parmesan on top. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. Boom, boom. Like elbowing my mates. There's Scotty Cam. Scotty Cam's walking past. We go all the way around. Yeah, from the block. We go halfway around the world.
You go see Scotty Cam because, in New York.
Hey, well, we didn't... Like, we may not have seen anyone from Hollywood, but we did see Scotty Cam.
That is not good.
Nah, it's pretty crook, to be honest.
One thing, again, living in Sydney, as you did in Paddington, is it's actually near the Cross City Tunnel.
It is.
And the Cross City Tunnel's great, for me, especially because I was going out west. And something about the Cross City Tunnel is, and people would realise, not I don't think people realise in Melbourne, is how expensive the Cross City Tunnel is. And how expensive tolls are in Sydney in general. Now, in Melbourne, you don't really use the tolls as much because they're sort of more outer suburb tolls that you sort of use.
I'm big into tolls.
Yeah. So,
is that where we're going?
I know that you're big into tolls. Yeah. I know for a fact you're big into tolls. I know that you're big into just disregarding tolls. Can you talk us through what happened with that one?
Yeah, so I think a theme's come through that there was a big portion of my life where I wouldn't front up to things that I didn't like. And one of them was being told I couldn't drive on roads that I wanted to and had to pay for them. And it's pretty embarrassing. But I think I might have like chalked up sort of $5,500 in unpaid tolls at one point.
And they double too. Like if you don't pay them.
Oh, it's like, if you want to put your money anywhere, just put them in tolls because the exponential growth that you'll get, you can chuck $10 worth of tolls in there and that'll become $1,000.
See, it costs, I'm pretty sure
it's like
costs
$15.
Yeah, it cost me nearly $15 a day to get to training. So when you're paying rego and $15.
$15 a day at, let's say you go to training.
Four times a week. Oh, five because you got the weekend as well. So
yeah, so five times a week. So what's that? That's 5/7 of 356. So let's just say that's about 300. 315 is 3,000. No, sorry, 4,500, roughly.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot it's of. Excessive. That's a lot of money just to get to work.
So technically, you just did it well because you only had.
I only paid the 500 extra. And I got the stress.
Exactly.
So that's a two for one. No, I fucking hell, mate. I was the worst. And like parking tickets as well. Like Hannah's is shocking. I'm going to dob him in. Hannah's used to do sort of $5,000 a year in parking tickets because we used to park, like we had parking at Fox Studios, which is around the corner from the SCG. But
yes.
But then you could also park out the front, but it was ticketed.
Yes.
And Hannah's had just parked there. Every day, a ticket. Every day,
it's excessive.
That's what happens when you're on heaps.
Yeah, you don't care.
You don't give a fuck.
How much do you think? Because I remember this is actually, we had a sheriff rock up to the club one day, and this is not legal. I don't know how they got away with this, but they basically, because there were so many AFL clubs with players like that that were owing money on tickets, right?
Yeah.
So they went to the club, and one day we got this message. They're like, "Can you five please come to?"
Room X,
yeah, and me, yeah. And we're like, fuck, that's weird. It's a weird.
Oh, so
bunch.
You were one of them.
I was one of them.
Tell me about your dark crimes past.
I don't know what mine was. I think it must have been. It wasn't too bad. I was really bad with parking tickets as well.
It was the murder.
It was murder. Yeah. But this player that will rename. Yeah,
fuck Hannah's,
nameless,
mate. We'll get him out there.
$20,000.
I reckon I know who it is. That's but like the thing is as well.
20,000.
So like on kind of, you know, tolls and parking tickets and all that kind of stuff, like the first person I think of when I hear that is Liam Jarrah. for reasons in that he's never had to think.
You don't even think, you know, like if you don't have a bipper.
He's never had to think about paying for anything, let alone paying a parking fine, right? Mm. He gets to Melbourne and like English is a second language for him already. So already when people are saying, your shit's in your pigeonhole, why are you late for meetings? Put in your pigeonhole. This is literally a quote. He goes, what's a pigeonhole?
Yeah.
So like think about how far back Liam Jarrah's coming from, right? And then he was just getting on the distributor because it's the fastest way to get there because he just punches it into Google Maps, right?
Yep.
You end up with like immediately because of a cultural barrier, and not saying that this other player was.
Yeah.
But like there's...
He actually wasn't.
There's a cultural barrier
for
so many guys who come down from Bush. Where it's like Liam, like LJ puts himself financially behind as well as being, you know, from a language point of view behind, as well as, you know, being from a family point of view behind. Like it's, yeah.
I don't think clubs realised how...
Sorry that I bounced off that, but like that's...
No, 100%.
That's what comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really interesting because... And it's something that we definitely touch on. And let's just touch on it now because it is the point, I think, like Indigenous, the guys that I've played with in footy. And I think that with what's going on at the moment, per se. And
Black Lives Matter stuff.
Black Lives Matter stuff. So we said earlier off air, I was like, I'm not a political guy. I don't really have political agenda.
An affliction or anything like that.
But as I said to you, this Black Lives Matter isn't a political thing.
No.
It's a human thing.
100%.
So... And I saw a quote, and I'm going to fuck this up, but it was saying like...
Just say I'm paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And it said something, I hope you know this, but it says basically something like, a good person isn't someone that doesn't do something. It's...
Yeah, no.
Do you know where I'm going with that?
So I think...
I'm trying to say...
I think the quote you're after, or this is what I think the quote you're after is it's like... To just be anti-racist isn't enough. You've got to be actively anti-racist because like if you're just like silently anti-racist, it's just like, well, fuck, like nothing's gonna happen.
Yep. And that's like, it. And this is it.
Was
this
quote?
Is actually not even it. This is still not it. But this fuck, one is like the necessary. The only necessary thing is for evil to go well is for good people to do nothing.
Yeah.
That's not it, but I still like that.
Yeah, no, but it's the exact same thing. So basically what it means is I consider myself a good person, but am I actively doing anything to change the things?
Because if you're not, maybe you're not helping.
Well, if you're not, you're on the other side because you aren't stopping them.
Exactly.
So there's this great quote. Have you seen the film I Am Not Your Negro?
I can't say I've seen that.
So it's this film.
Damon, have you seen that?
Yeah, Damon. No. So it's this film about James Baldwin. He was a writer. He's a African American writer, sort of born, I think, in the 1910s.
99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so it's an amazing film. But one of his quotes in that film, which really resonates with me being a black fella here, is he says, to be a Negro in this country and to be somewhat conscious is to be in a rage all the time. And that really resonates because, for instance, everyone here hopped on. It's the wrong way, but...
I know what you mean. No.
So everyone, like Black Lives Matter became sexy off the back of Hollywood jumping on board and then everyone almost fucking sexualizing it, being like, yeah, I'm a big part of it. Yep. Like I'm pro Black Lives Matter. Like, I give a fuck. But then as soon as you go, yeah, well, it happens in every key statistic, in every key vertical, worse.
Yes.
Here in Australia, everyone just goes, oh, nah, but that like it's good here. So fucking it's not.
Mm.
Only the other day the government came out and said that we're going to celebrate our amazing, well, that this isn't
what they said, but they said, we're going to celebrate our amazing frontline workers on Australia Day, which I call Invasion Day, right?
Yep.
And what that is clearly divisive, because what they're doing is they're asking you to choose between the amazing people who have put themselves in harm's way through a fucking pandemic to look after other people. You're asking...
Which, like, you can't say no to, because it's
like... Of
course not. Obviously,
no, no, no. Well, yeah. Why would you? Yeah. Over people who are marching and protesting rebelling against the fact that we celebrate Australia Day on the day that, you know, I guess... the start of genocide happened. And so what, like this is literally, like, the government is very cleverly just going, well, we're going to make you choose. And so like, that's racism 101. Mm. Like, it's, and like, it just, and then it just happens. Like, every fucking day. Like, Neville Jetta today copped.
Yeah, again, another
copped
one.
Honestly, like, I was at lunch before this, and I was sitting with a friend of ours, Dan Warner, for lunch, and on the table next to us, just some woman just talking to the dinner party or the lunch party. She was like, you know, black people, no, they just can't be trusted. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, am I invisible?
Yeah.
And even if I wasn't here, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, but then you don't go and confront, because then you just become the person, like then instantly in that moment you lose them.
Yeah.
So you're just like, fucking hell, like, it's a poison chalice. Like,
yeah.
to be conscious and know what is happening, and then having to check and moderate the way that you deliver how you feel. Like, fucking hell, like, you're just so conflicted and tired all the time. And the other thing, fuck, you've really opened a can of worms here. Like, everyone just got, like, for instance, I didn't grow up super strong culturally. I found that later on in life.
Mm.
But what happens is everyone just goes, hey, Dil, what's your take on this Indigenous matter? And he's like, well, fuck me. It's like, well, fucking hell, man. Have you heard of Google?
Yeah.
Like, do your own fucking research. Yeah. Do you know how traumatic it is for me to talk in a bipartisan way about something that, like, legitimately causes me trauma?
Yeah.
And then we've all got them. Everyone's got that mate who just plays devil's advocate, and they go, okay, you know. But, like, just playing devil's advocate here, what if... No what ifs, because we're living in the, like, that's living in the world of the hypothetical. This is actually what's happening. Stop being a, I nearly said the C word, but
And I think that, like, and it's so hard to, for me, because I'm not saying it's hard for me, I'm saying it's hard for me to have an opinion, because I don't know what it's like, and I never will. Like, I'll never understand what it's like for you, but like, I think that a lot of people have said it again on social media, I'll fuck this up, but it's like, I don't know, I'll never understand, but I stand with you.
That's all, like, I think, and again, see, this is the other thing, like, my experience is so different to every other Indigenous person's experience, in that when you think of Australia, think of a map of Europe and times it by 10. Like, Belgium isn't going to be the same as, fucking, I don't know, Czechoslovakia isn't going to be the same as France, isn't going to be the same as Spain, yet they're all part of Europe.
Yes.
It's the same here, in that I can't speak on behalf of all Aboriginal people, but what I can do is talk to my experience. And all we want is for white fellas to acknowledge that whilst we might not like, I don't think you're racist, Dylan, but just by being white, you're part of the problem. And it takes the ego, like, you have to take your ego out of it. Like, it's the same way that just by being a man, I'm part of, I guess, the gender problem, you know, just by being a man, regardless of how I feel or think. And I need to separate my ego from that and actively try to remedy it. And just, and back to the quote you said before, just to be a good person and not do anything, that's not enough.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just not.
And I think that part, what you said before, like about saying you didn't say I'm the problem, but you're saying like the white person, right? I think that a lot of people go, hey, I'm white, I'm not racist.
Exactly.
Like is fine. Like I'm fine with it. Like, you know, it's not me, but it's not thinking about you, it's thinking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, it's thinking about it from a collective point of view, right? And like it or not, you have like subtly and overtly benefited from not being black. Like,
and the thing is it's so hard for people to understand is like you said, because you've got to not take that personally. Straight away I go, fucking, you know, in your head, but you've got to change that thing. No, you know what I mean? Like I'm like, oh, then I'm, oh, actually, no, fuck.
Wait. No, well, like, yeah. Exactly. Like for instance, what we were talking about earlier today, right? Like, sorry, not what we were talking about earlier today. What we were talking about what happened earlier today.
Yes.
Like, if you're a white person, you just sit there and go, oh, that's a bit off. But then I sit there and go, I'm black.
It's pretty fucked.
It's pretty fucked. Yeah. She clearly doesn't trust me.
Yeah.
She never will. And she said that like I'm invisible. And I'm wearing a sick leather jacket. And this fucking freak over here isn't acknowledging that, like, how sick the jacket is.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, and it's that kind of stuff. It's the kind of shit where, you know, you get followed around a store. You get questioned where you've been, like, you're on a bike, people ask whose is it, you go, it's yours, they go, prove it. Like it's all of this stuff, right? It's like, and again, these are all mine, like my personal experiences, and there's fucking thousands of them. Like even a kid coming up to me when I was young, he was like, oh, you're the wrong color. And this is like an 8-year-old kid.
He got that from somewhere.
Yeah, he's gotten that. And it's just like, fucking hell, man. Like, who are you hanging around for this to be a thing?
Yeah.
And then also, like, you know, you laugh at, like, when you're younger, when I was immature, still am to a degree, but kind of found my center now. It's like when you're younger as well, even with your friends, like the jokes that you used to walk past, you know, like the classic leading teams saying, it's like the behavior you walk past is the behavior you accept.
Yeah.
And like you'd laugh along at jokes. And so for instance, when I went to boarding school, I was one of two black kids at the boarding school, about 1,000 people there.
Yep.
I would laugh along at jokes because it was all like, it was already hard to fit in because I'm so clearly different. So you're so clearly different and you're trying to fit in. And then on top of that, people are making, you know, kind of bigoted jokes that they don't realize are bigoted. And so you laugh to try to fit in, but that hurts and like it scars you. And then you go, well, fuck me. Like, basically I've been ignoring how I feel as opposed to trying to, ignoring how I feel to fit in as opposed to
what you believe in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, like, again, it's, I think, but I don't know, but actually, no, I do think from this movement, is it a movement? It's a, from this.
Yeah. No, 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 no.
Cultural change.
No, it's a movement.
I don't know how to say it. Is it from this?
I would say what we've got right now is a cultural flashpoint.
Cultural flashpoint. So it's a, yeah, it's a turning point, flashpoint.
We hope it's a turning point.
Okay.
I'm quite skeptical.
Okay. Well, hopefully this turning point, I think the one thing that now people can't get away with, which I think infuriates Indigenous people the most, is when people say, I had no idea.
And that's
probably the thing that, like, the it's shock. Like, we can't, you know, that shock. You can't use that one anymore because I'm so scared sitting here because, like, I know I'm
what
chatting
are you scared
with you.
Of?
No, because I'm scared because I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'm chatting with you and I'm like, you know, I feel like I'm aboard this, like I am. But then there's points where I think, fuck, have I done something in the past that's...
But also, you know what?
Probably.
Yeah.
And like just the same way as when I was fucking 12, I used to say, I used to be like, oh, that's gay.
And not, yeah, and yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then now you're like, fuck, that is such a shit thing to say, but everyone was saying it and I didn't realize what it meant. But now you just go, well, fuck, you know what? Like saying that is wrong, because what's wrong with it? You know, it's like that kind of thinking, and you're just like I'm able to not disassociate, but recognize where I've come from, and then kind of grow through, and now, fuck, like I'd like to think I'm, you know, actively trying to help.
No, you are, man.
People from you know, the LGBTQIA movement, because I'm like fucking oath, they're people. Let's support them, and they need more support. And it's the same thing. And just because you might have fucked up in the past, it doesn't mean you can't be a champion in the future.
Oh, of course. And it's more like that, like you said, the awareness and just the cultural appropriation of things like jokes, just because they're funny to you, like things like that, doesn't mean it's funny.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying before. It's like when I was a kid, people would, and it's just fucked to say, but like people would say black jokes to try to like make you, like, oh, I get it. You know, it's like, yeah. And you're like, fuck me, man. Like, but then at the time you like fake a laugh.
Mm.
You go, oh yeah. 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 We do. Yeah. We do like petrol. Yeah. But then, you know, as time goes on, you go, shut the fuck up, man. What the fuck is funny about that?
Yeah.
And then someone will just be like, oh, but,
I know that you're skeptical on it, and again, it's more of your space and mine. But I feel as a white fella that that's just not appropriate anymore.
Do you want to know? Do you want to know a black fella term for white fella?
What's that?
Wadjala.
Wadjala.
Wadjala. So you're a Wadjala.
Wadjala and friends.
So that's a Noongar word for our white fella. So Noongar people are from the southwest of WA.
Yeah. Well,
Jack Martin's a Noongar.
Jack Martin.
Buddy Franklin's a Wadjuk Noongar. Fuck, there's a heap. The Hill Boys are Noongars.
Chris, Yaz? Was Yaz a...
Yeah, Yaz is a Noongar. Yeah, fuck.
A lot of boys there. And what you were saying before about doing your part about now, that probably transitions into the next point. And I know we've gone for a long time, but there's just too much to go through.
Yeah, is this too long?
No, like never.
Oh, I can just abridge. I can just
no. Nah, people can just tune out.
Yes,
but they won't, because this is important. Because Yokai.
Yes, Yokai Footy.
Yokai Footy. And we've probably skipped the main bit, but basically the transition from media that you're in now, like you're an ABS. You were the first Indigenous game caller at Triple M.
So first Indigenous person to call, which is commentate the play-by-play footy on a commercial station.
On a commercial station. So it wasn't just...
Any.
That's fucked. And that only happened like...
6 months ago. Maybe 12. Just under 12 months ago now. Yeah.
Well done.
Mate, you know the worst thing about it was... Like... I was so scared that I would fuck it up and put my people 10 years back.
No.
Like, I wasn't worried for me. I was scared that, you know, like the next amazing, who will definitely be better than me, caller comes through.
No, you're breaking, you're paving that. You're paving.
Paving. There's a V in there. No, it's like, I was just so worried. Like, it's funny, like I did a whole bunch of press and all that kind of shit in the week leading up. You know, I'm my own publicist, so I did lots. But as the week, like as it got closer to the end of the week, I was like, fuck, this is actually less about, like as much as this is about me, it's actually not about me.
It's about the bigger picture.
Yeah, like this is about, you know, fucking showing those execs at, you know, all of the commercial channels that black fellas can actually
not just be the funny guy who comes in, or not just be, you know, the kind of comic relief. It's like, fuck, we can host, we can, like, we can be the anchor of a broadcast.
Yeah.
And so like I felt a lot of that pressure. But yeah, I mean,
mate, you smashed it though.
Oh, it was so fun. Like I kind of lost my shit. I was like saying kicks from milk, and you know, like I was like, oh fuck, milky stuff from Rioli out of the middle. Like what the fuck? And you kind of look around, and there's Rocket Eat, and there's Duck, and there's Howie, and they're kind of like looking at you, going,
milky,
what the fuck's this bloke on? You know, but who gives a shit? Like. And that's the other thing. It's like, once it starts, who gives a fuck? But in the lead up, I was like, Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's huge.
You can adversely affect people. And so Kelly Underwood now, she's a quasi colleague in that she works at the ABC. Mm-hmm. And she and I have had some really good chats, and one of them's been around. Like, so she was the first woman to call.
Yes.
To call footy.
Yeah.
On TV and commercial. And we both said, we went and grabbed a coffee earlier on in the week, and we were like, the fuck thing was, we weren't even like, we weren't worried about whether or not we could do it. Well, sorry, I wasn't worried about whether or not I could do it. She was worried because she got thrown in the deep end. But the thing we were worried about the most was fucking it up for everyone else.
Mm.
So I'm like, and see, that's the other thing. Like, I don't know. And I'm desperate for them to be coming through. Like, I want, you know, young Indigenous commentators to be coming through, because I'd love to be there to be able to put my arms around them.
Yeah.
And show them how to. But I just don't know where they are. So if anyone's listening, fucking.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it in the comments. Put it in the comments. Yeah.
Let me hold that up.
At Dylan Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking. If you're listening and you're a black fella or a white fella, mainly black fellas though.
And also if they want to.
Oh, well, if you want to kiss me, you're an idiot. The kiss me is huge.
I don't know. I just like
why?
It. Why not?
I love it. But we got so earnest as well. But kiss can we talk me. About fun shit?
Yeah, No. We've covered it all really. Like, that's basically, well, we want Indigenous calls, yes, but talking about Yokai as well, where can we find that? Because NITV, yeah, which is yeah, part so of SBS,
on,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's on. It's on. I think.
and the AFL.
Yeah, so it's on NITV every Wednesday evening at 8 PM,
yeah.
And then it's on the AFL from 8 PM. But you can stream it at any time. And the people behind the scenes, they're doing an amazing job. Like, it's a Carla Hart production.
Yep.
She's a proud Noongar woman from WA. She's a brilliant director. Don May's on the AFL side. Nick Musgrove's the writer.
Bianca Hunt.
So, and I was getting to the on-air.
I know. I just wanted to show you that I knew who else was on the show.
It's in your notes, mate. Yeah. No, Bianca.
But I have watching the show. It actually is
Bianca.
Cool.
Bianca's a star, and will just become an absolute. She's going to be a superstar, and it's so great. Like, we're both at the start of our media careers, but she's like, just from an age point of view, younger. So I just love watching how far she jumps each week. She's going to be amazing.
That's unreal, man. Mate, it's been real.
Yeah, fucking hell. Sorry to deep dive.
No. Hey. We love the roller coaster.
Yeah, that was a roller coaster. Hey.
I love hitting all the marks in a show because I love.
You haven't cried though, so I'm pissed off.
I was about to. To be honest, I'm not even saying this. There was a few times there where I just hit me like the goosebumps a little bit.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that from a egotistic point of view, because, you know, I'm very egotistic. But like, it's like when you're talking before about being a white fella not getting it right. But then you talk about having goosebumps about the stuff that I'm talking about. And clearly that's the stuff that would have given you goosebumps.
Yeah.
All that you have to do is turn those goosebumps into like action. So what can I do? Is it supporting an Aboriginal organization? Is it talking at something? Is it? So Yeah. That gets me up more than...
And that's... It's hard to say because a lot of, like, I think a lot of people can say, like, that they understand. But, like, I think I understand, but I don't have any fucking idea.
Oh, 100%. It's like you've got empathy, but you don't have lived experience.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, like, being in the AFL system as well, it does... Well, you are fast-tracked a little bit on that side of things.
100%. Well, because in the AFL industry, like, we as in Indigenous people, we make up, I think, 10% of the industry, but we only make up 3% at best of the population. So yeah. We over-index hugely. And then, you know, we make up fucking 25% of the jails and, you know, like all those fuck stats. But it's like playing AFL was a place where I met black fellas. I didn't know them before, which is fucked. But anyway.
Nah.
Loved footy, but loving what's coming next.
100%, man. And you are onto good things. Like I said, I've learnt a lot about that today. The Black Lives Matter back.
Except how to say it.
Black Lives Matter turning point.
Backgammon matters.
Backgammon matters turning point. All seriousness, because that's not a joke.
I'm taking.
Oh, I can't there. Joke.
Yeah,
I
don't. You want can't joke.
You know what I mean? Like you're laughing, but I'm all right. Deadly serious about
3, 2, 1.
This. 3, 2, 1. Black Lives Matters.
Yes, it does.
And to finish as well, I totally forgot this story and I think it could be a bit of a ear raiser. We can't go for too much longer though because we're actually going to get kicked out here. First day at Collingwood, you had a running session.
How do you know Dane Swan was next to me?
I didn't.
Go on. What's the fucking question?
I've heard that first day at Collingwood, there was an incident in a running session where you went really hard and maybe your body gave way.
Oh, yeah, right. okay, so it wasn't my first day. It was the first day back.
Okay.
Been a big off season. I indulged in all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And first day back, for any listeners who don't know,
testing.
Every session starts off with a time trial and then you have your training session and they fuck you up. So it was like a 15K session, the time trial at the start, and then some running. So it was 400s. And I was always in the good group because I was a beast. Maybe halfway through the fourth of the six 400s, the body starts to give way. and I'm going, I can't let them know the kind of off season I've had, so I've got to stay up here. But I can feel last night's steak just slowly maneuvering its way from the top of my small intestines
to the
back end of my long intestines. And anyway, you know, I'm like, nah, fuck, I can hold it. So this is fourth 400 of six. Fifth 400 of six. I don't even make it round the bend. I just, like, I'm striding and I'm tucking. And anyway, we've got a breach. We've got a breach, and I just go, like, the hand goes straight up, and I just do this kind of like crib walk off, and Bucks comes up and he goes, "TA, mate, what happened?" I'm like, "Bucks, mate, I fucking shut myself." I'm walking, just like hand in the air, like, it's fucked up down there.
Tony, I don't think we could finish on that note.
Hey, Dill, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for having me. And to thank you for your time, I don't have it on me, but to thank you for your time.
Of course
not. We've partnered up with Tissot.
Huge.
They're great. We love Tissot. We love Tissot watches. I've got one here as well.
So do I. I don't actually. I've got a crappy Casio. Love a Tissot, though.
So thank you for your time. You get a Tissot. It's a fantastic watch, and we will have the graphics of that flashing up.
Thank you. No, honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It has, and this isn't a, you know, you can come on whenever you like.
Hey, I'm always down. I can buy one anytime.
So. You got to pay the way.
But if you want to make it to the top.
Tony Armstrong.
Thanks, thank Dylan. You. Thank you.
KO's got you covered this footy season with every game of every round live and ad break free during play. Big games these weeks, my friends. Fremantle versus Collingwood. Oh my God, Lachie Schultz is coming up against his own team. Cannot wait to watch that one. That's live with no ad breaks during play. Carlton versus Gold Coast. My goodness gracious me. Levi Casbolt Cup. Live with no ad breaks during play. Exclusively in Victoria, that one. And then Geelong versus the Giants. Live with no ad breaks during play. Exclusive in Victoria. Jezza Cameron against his old mob. Don't forget Tanner Bruin. My goodness gracious, that's going to be exciting to see those two teams go to each other. It's two teams that I think will be there in September as well. Then the NBA playoffs, my friends. Watch every game of both the Eastern and Western Conferences. Finals live with ESPN on KO. There's plenty of room for everyone, so get on board with KO now, also available on Hubble.